Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Thank you for joining us on the Better Series podcast. I'm Nona Finn, your host for today's dynamic conversation. Personal data has become a vital asset for businesses, from audience identification to informing strategic direction. Personal data opens the door to limitless possibilities. But with great power comes great responsibility. It is vital that companies understand how to manage and safeguard their customers' data. This is why businesses of all sizes need to embrace best practices for privacy. Companies doing businesses internationally also have to pay attention to more than one set of privacy laws when they're processing personal information. For example, legal standards for how businesses treat personal data are different in the United States and the European Union. For any U.S. company that has customers in the EU or that does business with other U.S. companies handling European customer data, this can be a big deal. Today we have BBB EU Privacy Shield team. They are here to help us understand how companies handle EU data in the U.S. Francis Henderson, Director of Privacy Initiative, is here, along with Bryant Fry, Deputy Director of BBB EU Privacy Shield. Thank you both for taking the time to join us in discussing this important topic.
Thank you, Nona.
Now, I'm going to dive in here. So from what I understand, Francis, in order to bridge the gap between their different approaches to privacy, the EU and the U.S., they established an agreement some years ago that enables American businesses to process EU personal data in the U.S. as long as they meet certain requirements. Now, is that right?
Yes, Nona, that's right. The EU and the U.S. reached the original Safe Harbor privacy arrangement quite a few years ago, back in 2000, that enabled certain American businesses to handle EU personal data as long as they self-certified to certain requirements. And the most recent version of this agreement, which is now called the EU-US Privacy Shield Framework, has been around since 2016. Privacy Shield operates, as I said, as a self-certification mechanism, and that means U.S. businesses have to take the initiative to sign up to the program in order for their activities to be covered. And they do that by making a formal self-certification with the U.S. Department of Commerce, and they publicly post that on the Commerce Department website.
What's in that certification?
Well, the certification states that they'll follow certain privacy principles, which are called the Privacy Shield principles, and these are based on EU legal standards, and they'll follow those principles in handling any personal information they receive from the European Union. The certification has to be renewed and updated every year. And the Privacy Shield principles that companies are agreeing to relate to things like a company's internal data handling practices, how they enter into data sharing agreements with other companies, and being mindful of what personal data they're collecting and why they need it. Other principles require the companies to extend to EU consumers some of the privacy rights that they're used to enjoying in the EU, even when their personal information has been transferred to the United States. And one example of that would be the right to access personal information that a U.S. company holds about them.
Interesting. So is this public certification the most important aspect of Privacy Shield?
Well, it's certainly at the core of Privacy Shield, but there are two other important elements. And the first of those is verification. And what that refers to is a company's obligation to look at its internal privacy practices before it self-certifies and then to keep monitoring them during the year before it recertifies. Companies conduct verification reviews to make sure the promises they've made in their online privacy policies and in the public statements they make in their self-certification to the Commerce Department are true and accurate. And that means they also need to ensure that their internal practices remain consistent with those Privacy Shield principles we mentioned. And they must verify their ongoing compliance every year on recertification.
Now, Francis, how does that verification process work?
Well, as I said, this is a review process. And most companies conduct their reviews in-house. And then they write a formal verification statement that they have to keep available in their records in case the Commerce Department requests it, say, in the course of an investigation or a complaint. They can also use an external verification service to handle that function. But in fact, almost 80% of companies self-certified with the Commerce Department actually do verifications in-house, and most BBB EU Privacy Shield companies do it in-house as well. Usually they'll use their audit team or their legal staff to do that.
What is the third element of Privacy Shield compliance?
Well, the third element is arguably the most critical because it provides some recourse for EU consumers if they have a problem with an American company handling their data. And that element is independent dispute resolution. Privacy Shield requires that businesses select an independent mechanism, which we call in Privacy Shield parlance an independent recourse mechanism, or an IRM, to help EU consumers in exercising their privacy rights or bringing forward privacy complaints.
Okay, so where does the BBEU Privacy Shield program fit into this entire picture?
So our program is an independent recourse mechanism. We provide third-party dispute resolution, and our participants can direct their customers and the consumers in the EU to use our online dispute resolution service to address their privacy inquiries, complaints, and their data access requests. But in addition to providing dispute resolution, we also help companies with the other two elements of Privacy Shield. In our experience, some companies struggle with the self-certification process, especially if they don't have a dedicated privacy staff. So we provide that compliance assistance with the initial Privacy Shield certification. And during the year, we provide some compliance monitoring, and we provide reminders and guidance for companies as they get ready for their annual recertification. This is also helpful for their verification process.
Great. Sounds like great support. Brian, let's turn to you for a second. Can you give us more details about how BBB EU Privacy Shield supports U.S. businesses?
Sure. As Francis mentioned, in addition to our dispute resolution services, our staff works with companies on their initial self-certification. Usually that means we'll help them update their privacy policies to ensure that they meet all Privacy Shield requirements. We also help companies gather the information they need to include in their self-certification. This helps make sure that their certification application won't be unnecessarily delayed in the repeated Commerce Department reviews. Then we monitor our company's website privacy statements and the Department of Commerce certification pages throughout the year to identify any changes that are made that could affect their certification status. When we alert companies to these issues in real time, it makes it easier for them to produce an accurate verification report when they're recertifying. And companies have often asked us for more general guidance on EU and US privacy law. So we've developed a blog, a periodic newsletter, and other online resources covering Privacy Shield compliance issues and current privacy topics, such as the new EU General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR.
That's great. Well, what kind of companies would you say are ideal to participate in your program?
Well, we currently have over 1,000 organizations from numerous business sectors with a variety of business models. In terms of size, BBB has a long history of serving small and medium-sized businesses, and they probably make up a majority of our participants, but we do have many multinational corporations in the program as well. The baseline requirement for all our companies, obviously, is that they are processing EU personal data. They can be doing this in a variety of ways. For instance, some companies are collecting data directly from EU customers through an online retail website or another service they offer. Others might be offering cloud services to store personal data for EU commercial customers. And some of our participants are providing services as vendors to EU companies that handle EU personal data.
Now, Francis, what do you think causes companies to choose BBB EU Privacy Shield over other IRM services? Is it a question of BBB brand recognition, or are there other factors that you would see important?
Well, no, we certainly benefit from BBB's brand reputation as a leader in business and consumer dispute resolution. As you know, that reputation dates back around 100 plus years. And we feel that we're offering a package of services that companies have told us they want, as Brian has described. I think dispute resolution is an important element for us. The businesses that choose BBB are often customer service oriented, and they like the fact that conciliation is a key element of our dispute resolution process. And what that process does is it gets the two parties together and gives them a chance to work through a privacy problem and to come up with a mutually agreeable solution. We find that some companies see privacy compliance as a real customer service differentiator, and they usually want to hear from their customers and respond directly to customer concerns. In many cases, they actually can learn a lot from a consumer's experience, and they can use the feedback to improve their privacy compliance. Now, we do offer arbitration as an option, but companies don't necessarily want to go straight to a more adversarial process before they try to work out an acceptable solution directly with the customer. And in turn, what we expect of our companies is a commitment to observing the Privacy Shield rules and in helping us to help them by cooperating with our process.
Brian, what are the steps businesses need to take to become a participant, and what should they expect from BBB EU Privacy Shield when they do? Walk us through what that process really looks like.
Sure thing. Our sign-up process is fairly straightforward. First, your organization should assess whether you need this mechanism by confirming that you are in fact handling EU or Swiss personal information. Then, to ensure that you're actually eligible to join, you must be a U.S. organization that's subject to the jurisdiction of the Federal Trade Commission. Most charities and some other nonprofit organizations are not subject to FTC oversight,
okay,
so they're not eligible to join Privacy Shield. That said, if your organization isn't a charity, but you're some other type of nonprofit wanting to join Privacy Shield, you can feel free to reach out to us. We can help you decide whether it's appropriate to seek an eligibility determination from the FTC.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, how can eligible companies apply to your program? Where can they find information that will help them with that process?
No, it's very simple. Our website offers a step-by-step guide on pretty much everything you need to know to join, as well as our quick online application form.
And what information will they need to have on hand to complete that application process?
To complete the application, you'll need to know the legal name of the main company joining the program, as well as any related companies that you may want to cover. You'll also need to know the details of your company websites, where you'll be publishing your privacy policy. After you file the online application, you'll be prompted to send us a couple of documents, including a signed participation agreement and your draft Privacy Shield privacy policy. Before sending us that draft policy, you should take a look at our online guidance and make your best effort to include all of the required items on our privacy policy checklist. Lastly, you'll be asked for an application fee, which will also serve as your annual fee for the first year of our program services.
Okay.
When we receive your full application package, we'll be able to provide additional hands-on support to help you update your privacy notice, and then we'll walk you through that certification process.
Great information. Thank you, Brian. So, Francis, it's been a few years since the Department of Commerce and the European Commission announced the launch of the Privacy Shield framework. Can you give us an assessment of how effective the framework has been? Have there been any major changes or issues since the launch?
The Privacy Shield is still relatively new. The EU-US Privacy Shield, the first framework, was launched in 2016, and then the companion framework, the Swiss-US Privacy Shield, followed early in 2017. And both frameworks saw pretty steady growth right from the beginning, over 2,000 companies self-certified in the first year of operation. Then in 2018, that new European privacy law that Bryant mentioned, mm-hmm, the General Data Protection Regulation, the GDPR, that began to have a major impact on Privacy Shield awareness. Privacy Shield is a preferred mechanism for transferring personal data from the EU to the US in compliance with that GDPR law. And so we saw a big spike in Privacy Shield growth starting in May 2018, when the GDPR first took effect. And as of today, enrollment has almost doubled from that first year. Currently, over 4,500 US organizations are self-certified to, okay, Privacy Shield. In terms of issues facing Privacy Shield, well, the framework is a political agreement. And like any international political agreement, it's going to be affected by politics. Mm. It's going to be affected by world events. You know, as we're sitting here today, the topic of the day is Brexit, which I think everyone knows refers to the UK's proposed withdrawal from the European Union. And that's still under very intense discussion. We've been keeping our participants up to date on those developments, as we do with all major developments affecting Privacy Shield. But the important thing to know is that there are actually contingency plans in place for dealing with Brexit, if and when it occurs, that will maintain Privacy Shield data flows from the UK to the US. So the framework has been robust in that regard, and we're optimistic that it's going to stay that way.
Well, Brian and Francis, I thank you both for joining us today. Please tell our listeners where they can learn more about BBB EU Privacy Shield.
You can find a link to our website in the description section of this podcast, and you can take a look at some of our resources and our online application form. If you still have any questions, you can feel free to reach out to us directly using the Contact Us button, and we'll be happy to talk to you.
Thank you. That was great information. Thank you again for listening to our Better Series podcast, where we bring you marketplace insights and trends. You can hear more great episodes on iTunes and any other streaming platforms. We'll see you next episode.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.